This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
And now it's time for everyone's favorite game show, Who's the Worst Duggar? Duggar v. Duggar, right? That is the question that that seems to be a lot of folks are asking as of late. So we're going to try and work our way through this a little bit. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We got a lot of Duggar news for you this week. Or more so, let's get you caught back up. In case you were living your life and didn't want to go down this rabbit hole. We'll get you up to date. Joseph Duggar went on national television in December of 2015, believe it or not, and told the country exactly what kind of man his brother Josh really was. He said Josh had been living a secret life. He said that when somebody you respect the most stands up and preaches about being true to your wife, you would never think that is the person who is involved in the stuff that he's alleged to have been involved in or flat out convicted of being involved in. He said it broke his heart. It broke Joseph's heart to hear about Josh. What's going on in the back of that mind as this is coming out? What's on the inside? That's like, please God, don't get me next. Oh shit! Well, the tale of one brother's follies to the next did not exactly do very good to make much of an impact to deter him from his unpure ways, allegedly. 5 years later, according to an arrest affidavit filed in Bay County, Florida, Joseph Duggar was on a family vacation in Panama City Beach, and he asked a 9-year-old girl to sit on his lap numerous times. The affidavit said he later asked her to sit beside him on the couch, and then he covered the two of them with a blanket. He described the machine on national television, then allegedly he became it. So which brother is worse? Josh Duggar was convicted by a federal jury December 9th of 2021. The jury found him guilty of both receiving and possessing a little thing called CSAM. The judge later vacated the possession count because under federal law, you cannot be punished twice for the same act and sentenced him on the receipt charge alone. That sentence was 151 months, 12 and a half years, 20 years of supervised release waiting for him on the other side. And then the offender registry after that. His release date was originally August of 2032. It's been pushed back now three separate times. It now sits at February 2nd of 2033. And later in the week on the program, we're going to be doing a deep dive into everything that's going on with old Joshy and all of his recent prison moves and why. But right now we're doing the Battle of the Duggars. Joseph Duggar was arrested on March 18th of 26. He faces two counts in Florida involving lewd and lascivious conduct with a person under the age of 12. One of those counts is what Florida law calls life felony. He, of course, pled not guilty. He demanded a jury trial. He posted a $600,000 bond, or should we say Jim Bob did, you know, the Christian thing to do, on March 31st and drove him home to Arkansas. And he's been there ever since. Two brothers, same house, 23 years apart. And in July of 2003, sitting right between them, Jim Bob Duggar took his oldest son to see a man with a badge. That one decision is the reason nothing that happened inside that house ever saw the inside of a courtroom initially. Now, the comparison you think you're making is a screen against a pair of hands. Josh looked at something. Joseph allegedly did something. One is passive, one is physical, and it feels like the whole argument here. It's not. Because Josh did not start with a screen, meaning a computer screen or one of these screens. Jim Bob Duggar told police that he learned in March of 2002 that his son had been hands-on with his sisters while they slept. Washington County report obtained by InTouch under the Freedom of Information Act showed that Josh confessed to his father on three separate occasions. It described at least seven incidents. Five girls, four of them were his own sisters. The fifth was a babysitter, allegedly. The screen, meaning the content that was on his partitioned hard drive, well, that came 16 years after that. So the comparison is not one brother's crime against the other brother's crime. It is the same conduct twice in the same family, a generation apart. And the thing sitting in the middle of both of them, it's not a brother at all. In July of 2003, 16 months after that first confession, Jim Bob took Josh to a man named Joseph Hutchins. Hutchins was an Arkansas state trooper. He was also a family acquaintance. Under Arkansas law, a law enforcement officer who learns of a child being harmed is what you call a mandated reporter. He's required to call it in. Hutchins, surprise, did not call it in. You know why? Because people like this protect people like this. And it turns out he's a person like this. He gave Josh what was described as a stern talk and then filed nothing. Because of that 2003 contact, the 2003 contact, it counted as the report. The three-year clock had already run out of time. Or the time that Springdale police opened an actual investigation in December of 2006 and no charges were ever filed on any of that. Not one statute of limitations is what the argument was. Thanks to good old Joseph Hutchins, who happened to then be convicted in 2007. the officer, you know, that gave the stern talk. Well, he's serving 56 years in Arkansas prison for crimes involving illegal of kids. Shocking that he like, hey, buddy, you know, I know how it is. Sometimes you just, you know, the devil gets in you. No, most people don't have that. That's you. That's not the devil. That's the piece of shit that you actually are. It's not Satan. It's you. Unless, of course, well, maybe that is the devil. Someone who does that to people. Maybe that's what that means. The evil incarnate in this world. A man like Joseph Hutchins. Like Josh Duggar. And allegedly Joseph now too. He has since publicly said that the Duggar family worked to keep the full extent of it from him, of course. I didn't know everything. Far be it on me. The man they handed the problem to turned out to be the same problem. And the only reason any of it reached a police department is that on December 7th of 2006, the Arkansas State Police Hotline took two tips. On that same day, one came from an anonymous caller. The other came from Oprah Winfrey's production company, who said, these people are too icky for the show, which had received an anonymous email because the family was scheduled to appear on the show. So not the church, not a counselor, not a trooper, a stranger and a talk show. Oprah saved the day. And when Springdale police opened the investigation, Jim Bob Duggar resisted. Of course he did. According to the police report InTouch obtained, he declined to produce his son for an interview. Now, why would a father hand his son to a friend instead of driving him to a police station? Because that is the teaching. These 19 children were raised inside the Institute of Basic Life Principles, otherwise known as a fucking cult, in my opinion. The organization founded by Bill Gothard, or whatever you want to call him. Its central doctrine is something Gothard called the umbrella of authority. His own words on tape, every one of us have umbrellas of protection, and if we get out from under the umbrella, we expose ourselves to the realm of the power of Satan's control. And just doesn't happen to mention that it's Satan's minions that are holding the umbrella. It's not a sermon. That's the policy. The doctrine does not say report it. The doctrine says the chain of command is the protection, and stepping outside the chain of command is where the danger lives. Handle it inside. Going to the authorities is going outside. And, you know, when the devil's holding the umbrella, don't question the devil, because in, you know, that world, it's couldn't possibly be bad. Bill Gothard stepped down, by the way, from that organization in 2014 after more than 30 women who had worked for him came forward with allegations against him. Are you noticing a pattern here like I am? Jim Bob seems to be friends with a lot of people that seem to have same sort of issues going on. Same sort of proclivities, if you will. Wonder what that's all about. So the doctrine that told this family never to go outside was written by a man who could not survive the outside. The officer they went to instead of the police is serving 56 years, and every institution the Duggars reached for instead of a courtroom was rotten on the inside. It's not a metaphor. That is the factual record of the case. In June of 2015 is the part almost nobody talks about much anymore. When the old police report surfaced, Jim Bob and Michelle sat down with Megyn Kelly on Fox News to explain themselves. Jim Bob said his son had been curious about girls. Michelle credited Josh for being the one who came forward on his own. Oh, what a big boy he is, Michelle. Big boy. You're beating him with a spoon when he was a child. You know, the blanket training shit. Maybe you should have just jammed that thing down his throat and called it a day. Like, maybe we shouldn't have kids. Maybe, you know. Once Rosemary's Baby popped out number one, you know, they said the girls had been asleep or too young to understand what had happened. And then two nights later, the family put two of the girls Josh had harmed on national television. Here, go stand up for your predator brother. It's what Jesus would want. The police reports that leaked had their names redacted. The system, for all of its failures, protected their identity. Their own family's public relations strategy did not. Jill and Jessa were named on Fox News because their parents needed to show, see, we're good. Everybody loves each other. We're shiny, happy mother. And Jessa is sitting in her parents' house in front of a national audience, defended him. Said she wanted to speak up for her brother against the names people were calling him. She said it was overboard, a lie. She said she could say that because she was one of those he had harmed. I'm sorry your family has failed you so, so insurmountably, Jessa, that this is how you believe, or did believe at that time. That is what the umbrella does. It does not just protect the person who did it. It recruits the people. He did it too. 16 years later, Josh Duggar built a password protection partition on a desktop computer at his, you guessed it, he became a used car salesman in Springdale, Arkansas. Come on down. Hot dogs and balloons for the kids. And if you happen to be a... Josh wants to show you something on his computer. He built it specifically to get around software that was reporting his internet activity to his wife. So they knew he was such an issue and he had such a problem with this stuff. They literally put software on his computer and then he partitions the hard drive off, which takes some knowledge. I consider myself somewhat computer literate. I don't know how to do that. I think a lot of us know how to do that. But he did this in secret so he could go on the dark web. And he downloaded over 3 days of material in May of 2019. According to the Justice Department, the password on the hidden partition was the same password he used for his other personal and family accounts. He's a genius, too. He built himself a vault and locked it with the house key. Do you expect much more? I mean, I guess that's the good part about all of the children that Jim Bob and Michelle raised. They're mostly not that intelligent. And I do say mostly. there are some surviving members that have escaped, and good on them. Unfortunately, you know, they took all the good genes out of the gene pool, and the rest are like, what the fuck is wrong with these people? Homeland Security raided the lot on November 8th of 2019. Agent Gerard Faulkner later testified that some of what they recovered ranked among the worst material he had seen in his career. And before the agents told Josh a single word about why they were standing on his property, Josh got into a truck and then asked whether somebody had been downloading illegal material involving They had not told him. He said it first. That's not a tell. Again, was it the blanket training? Did you hit him in the head with a spoon too hard? Or is it just, do you guys just have really, you know, apple don't fall far from the tree. The genetics are just not there. The IQ level is just so low. And this is just what you get with some people. You just get a bunch of dipshits. Then you beat them with spoons to keep them on the blanket as babies. And then 18 some years later or whatever, they turn out doing this. I don't know the answer to that question. I do wonder though, like, he also told them on tape that he was not denying guilt. Josh Duggar grew up under that umbrella with the lights off. Whatever else is true about him, he was 14 years old and inside a system that had no vocabulary for what he was doing and no mechanisms for stopping it. Joseph Duggar watched that system fail in real time. He was 20 years old. When it all came out, he sat in front of a camera in December of 2015 and described a mechanism out loud, the secret life, the man who preaches one thing in public and does another in private, the person nobody suspects, he named it. And then, according to the Bay County Sheriff's Office in 2020, he did it. Hey, big bro. On March 17th of 26, the girl's father confronted him. And according to the affidavit, Joseph admitted it. Investigators then had the father call him back with a detective on the line. And on that recorded call, the affidavit says Joseph admitted his actions and said his intentions were not pure, allegedly. That's the one that always gets me on this story. He was sitting next to an extremely close family member. Of his wife, and says, a child, and says, his intentions were not pure. There's no around this. There's no like, oh, well, I'm glad you admitted it. Now let's get on with our day. Anybody, any human being who says those words aloud and means them, I think should be immediately met with a bullet to the head, don't you? I mean, it's like, oh, really? Okay, thank you. Have a nice day. There's already 17 more of you. We're going to be good. I don't see any way around something like that. I mean, what do you do? I mean, there's no rehabbing this. Somebody who actually has this thought and like literally it comes out of their mouth. Oh, well, I didn't have pure thoughts. Around the 9-year-old. What? What? Now, these are the allegations. Joseph Duggar has not been convicted of anything yet. He's pled not guilty, despite all the allegations that this is on tape and these are the things he said. He's entitled to a jury, and guilt by surname is not justice. Somebody wants to set the entire Florida case aside until 12 people speak. That is that's a defensible position. So set it aside because there's a second case. In March 19th of 2026, Taneytown Police in Arkansas, where they lived, child welfare officials searched Joseph and Kendra Duggar's home. The next day, prosecutors charged both of them with four counts of endangering the welfare of a minor and four counts of second-degree false imprisonment. That case has nothing to do with Florida, although it is interwoven, and it wouldn't have happened had the first one not tipped the domino that way. The four children named in it are their own, and they're between 3 and 7 years old. A source close to the family told People the charges stem from the home inspection and from door locks that were mounted on the outside of the doors. Both pled not guilty. They're due back in court in August. And on March 25th to 26th, while his son sat in the Washington County Jail, Jim Bob Duggar wrote him an email. Jail email systems get turned over on request so we can read it. He told Joseph he had made some terrible decisions and that God has already forgiven him if he asked. Because that's how easy it is when you got the, you know, Satan's umbrella there. And in the same email about the charges involving his own grandchildren, Jim Bob wrote that it was ridiculous that they charged Kendra. He said the family was praying to get those charges dropped. How's that working out for you? In 2003, the answer was a stern talk from a man who is now serving 56 years. In 2006, the answer was jail email saying the forgiveness had already been handled and the charges were ridiculous. Same reflex, different decade. The only thing that changed is that this time it went through a government server. So which one is worse? By the record, it's Josh. He's the one the jury convicted. He's in the lead right now, I guess. He's the one whose material an agent called the worst of his career. And in more than 20 years, he's never once taken it. He blamed an employee at the car lot. He blamed his mother in text messages from prison telling Michelle to consider her role so that other children would not end up in the same situation. What the hell role is that? Again, is it the blanket and the knocking him with the spoon shit? Or what is the role there that you're not being accountable for, that you're blaming your mom of all people for? Or is it just your inherent hate for women? And that might be part of it. In 2026, he told a court that he did not write and did not approve the 2015 statement in which he called himself the biggest hypocrite ever and that the television producers wanted it. He has been moved to four federal prisons in about 3 months, landing in Ohio in July of 26, and his lawyers says the transfers are punitive. By the pattern, if the affidavit holds up, it might be Joseph. Because Josh was a boy in the house with the lights off. Joseph was a grown man who had seen the whole thing burn down, who understood the mechanism well enough to explain it on television, who allegedly walked into it anyway. Josh didn't know better, some will argue. Joseph said it out loud. Neither answer changes a single damn thing. They're both evil pieces of shit, in my opinion. Because the umbrella is still up. Two families put out statements about the same girl. The Duggar statements run four sentences, two of them about the family. One is a request for privacy. The girl gets one. The Caldwells are Kendra's parents. They said they were troubled and heartbroken over the alleged actions of their son-in-law. They said they were devastated for the young girl. They also called her courageous in every way for sharing her truth. They said they stand by her in support and prayer and forever will. Caldwells had been living in a house that Joseph and Kendra owned. After the arrest, they moved out and they started a fundraiser to cover their housing costs. They chose their own girl over the roof. Kendra, her sister, according to a source who spoke with Us Weekly, sided with the Duggars, with her husband, not her own flesh and blood. She was 9 years old on that vacation. To be a teenager now. For 5 years, she said nothing. And then in March of 26, she sat in a forensic interview room in Northwest Arkansas and told a stranger what happened. And the only reason there is a case at all is that her father picked up a telephone with a detective listening on the line. Not a church elder, not a family friend with a badge, not 16 months in a stern talk. 23 years and two sons, and nobody inside that family has ever picked up a telephone and called the police, not one time. In 2006, it took an anonymous stranger and Oprah. When the detectives finally came, Jim Bob would not hand over his son. How Christian of him, how Jesus-like that charlatan is. In 2026, it took a 9-year-old girl who carried it for 5 years and a father who was not a Duggar. You tell me who's worse. May not even be either of these. May go a little higher up. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in. Be sure to press subscribe. There's more to come this week on the Duggars. Until next time, my name is Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Shiny or shady? In talking about the Siders recently, this is a family with the 16 kids that were in the 12 by 12 room. And naturally, what kind of came to mind was the Duggars, the, you know, 19 kids and counting, and just the sheer amount of kids. But do the comparisons end there, solely on having a ridiculous amount of children? And at first I'm like, yeah, that's, you know, probably about it. You know, I mean, come on. I mean, look at the condition that the Sider family children were found in versus how the Duggars grew up. I mean, you know, very different environments, without a doubt. But at its core, are they really all that different? They really all that different? I'm going to talk about it today. I'm going to get your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Follow me through this here. Obviously, it's all opinion. But I'm kind of been wrestling with this. And the more I've been thinking about it, the more I'm like, oh, God. Oh, God. And you go, like, oh, yeah. The Attorney General of Ohio looked at one family and called it pure evil. That would be the Siders, the shady, if you will, in our graphic. A cable network looked at another family every week for 10 years and sold it as the wholesome heart of American television. Two labels at absolute opposite ends, you know, supposedly of the moral universe. Peel the labels off, set the two families side by side, and you're kind of looking at the same machine twice. One of them lived in a room the size of a parking space, and nobody knew until it was almost too late. The other one lived in front of cameras, and nobody knew until it was almost too late either. Both of these families are in front of a judge. So here's what actually happened. In Ohio, four people share one last name and one indictment. Gary Siders Sr., 73, Christina Siders, 67, Gary Siders Jr., 36, Elizabeth Siders, 33, each of them charged with 16 counts of endangering children after deputies found 16 kids in a house in Hamden on June 13th, 2026. All four pled, of course, not guilty. Ohio Attorney General Andy Wilson called it pure evil. The Vinton County Sheriff said livestock had been kept in better conditions. In Arkansas, well, very different family. A name most of America already knows. Joseph and Kendra Duggar were each charged with four counts of endangering the welfare of a minor and four counts of false imprisonment. The state removed all four of their children, both pled not guilty. Joseph separately faces two felonies in Florida involving a child under 12 and has pled not guilty there as well. Two families, two states. 20 children pulled into state custody between them. There's exactly one thing that separates these families from each other, and it has nothing to do with the children, and it does not show up until the very end. A couple of other things worth watching for along the way. Everybody already knows what kind of family the Siders are, and nobody can find the document that says so. And one of these two grandfathers put a single word in writing about a child endangerment charge. We're going to get to that. The first thing these two families have in common is that outside of the household, nobody ever actually laid eyes on the children. In Ohio, that was done by disappearing. Investigators believe the Siders lived in multiple Ohio counties going back to 2008 and in Wisconsin at one point, and that the family largely avoided creating medical and government records the entire time. Vinton County Schools has no enrollment record for these kids, no homeschooling record either. Some of the children could not speak. The oldest, 18 years old, could not spell her own name. In Arkansas, it was done in plain sight. 19 children ran through the Advanced Training Institute, the homeschool program built by the Institute in Basic Life Principles. No outside teachers ever walked in. No school nurse, no guidance counselor, nobody inside that house who was legally required to pick up a phone if something looked wrong because, well, isolation. Isolation prevented that. Same result, opposite methods. One family hid the children by vanishing off the map. The other hid them by putting them on a stage and called it religion. Either way, the only adults who ever saw those kids up close were the adults running the house. And here's the shiny version. Might actually be worse, not better. The Duggar method was legal. Ohio stripped most of its homeschool verification requirements in 2023. Arkansas asked the family for one notice of intent a year with no testing and no teaching credential. The Shiny family did not break the rule. The rule was written to let them do exactly this out in the open on basic cable with a studio audience. The Siders had to run and hide to keep their children off the books. The Duggars got to do it on camera and call it a lifestyle. And there's the fact that each of those households ran on one man. In Ohio, 73-year-old Gary Siders Sr. sat at the center of a household of 16 children and multiple adults. In Arkansas, everything there routed through Jim Bob Duggar. The court rules, the no dating rules, the chaperones, the dress codes, every major decision in 19 kids' lives funneled through their one father who actually ran for public office once as a family values candidate, as hilarious as that is. Two kingdoms, one king each. The difference is that one king had a podium and a television contract, and America handed him a microphone. The other lived in squalor. Then there is the instinct that nothing is ever allowed to leave the family. The Duggars left a paper trail on this one. In 2002 and 2003, Josh Duggar, then 14 and 15, had improper contact with five underage girls, four of them his own sisters. Jim Bob did not call a hotline. He sent Josh away and told police it was a Christian counseling program. Michelle later told police that Joshy was not in counseling at all and that he was working under a family friend remodeling a building. Then Jim Bob took his son to a police officer he knew personally, an Arkansas State Trooper, for what he described as investigators as a stern talk. The trooper was a mandated reporter. He didn't report anything. His name was Joseph Hutchins, and in 2012, he was sentenced to 56 years in prison on charges of his own involving illegal material. Yeah, you know. The man the Duggars chose to handle it quietly is now serving more time, more than four times the sentence that Josh received. And the stern talk was not a failed attempt to do the right thing. It was a mechanism. Jim Bob's 2003 contact with a friendly cop started the clock on Arkansas's three-year statute of limitations. And by the time Springdale police opened a real-life investigation file into it in December of 06, that clock was already out. It expired 5 months early. No charge could ever be filed because of the failure of a... Yeah. The Siders did not leave a paper trail. They left a hole where the paper should be. There's no single documented incident to point at because with the Siders, the concealment is the whole architecture. We're just beginning to learn of the monstrous behavior that's alleged in this case. A family that kept everything, including 16 human beings, off of every record for years at a stretch. So the difference is real. The Duggars left documents, the Siders left an absence. But the instinct underneath is identical. And it's the same instinct in both houses. Whatever happens in this family stays in this family. Nobody outside gets to know, and nobody outside gets to help. For the record, Jim Bob and Michelle Duggar have never been charged with a crime, and I'm not accusing them of committing any sort of crimes. All four Siders have pled not guilty. And then there's the ugliest thing that they have in common, which is that both of these houses were opened by pure accident. The Siders' house came open because a deputy walked up to the porch to serve a warrant that had nothing to do with any child. Court records show it was for four counts of public indecency against Gary Siders Jr. Investigators have said they did not expect to find any children in that house at all, and they found 16. The Duggar house came open in 2006 because someone sent a tip to the producers of Oprah. And the production company alerted authorities. Not a teacher, not a pediatrician, not a caseworker, a daytime talk show's legal department is the reason that file exists. And there the shine evaporates completely. It did not matter that the one family was invisible and the other was famous. It did not matter that one was broke and the other had a network deal. No system went looking for these children. In both houses, the only thing that found them was luck. And in one of them, luck arrived months too late to charge anyone. And then there are the women. Elizabeth Siders was 15 years old when she married Gary Siders Jr. in West Virginia in 2008. He was 18. She was 7 months pregnant. Her parents signed the consent form. 16 children later, she is a defendant facing 16 felony counts. And her own attorney has said publicly that he is looking into whether she was harmed in this case as much as anyone. The Duggar world runs on a courtship submission model that starts girls young and points them at one destination. Kendra Duggar married into it and is now a defendant with four children taken from her. Anna Duggar married Josh and is still there. Same machine, different paint. It takes girls and it turns them into defendants. And then it acts surprise when the state shows up. It's the same family twice. And there's one place, exactly one, where the two of them split apart. And it has nothing to do with what happened to a single child. In Ohio, every defendant had bond set at $300,000. Gary Siders Sr.'s own attorney filed a motion stating that his client is unemployed and cannot afford any bond at all, not a reduced one, any. And the judge released him anyway on recognizance bond because they couldn't afford to keep him. The county prosecutor stood up and explained that keeping a 73-year-old in a county jail meant the county was on the hook for his medical care and that the cost could bankrupt the county. So he signed a piece of paper and he walked out wearing a GPS monitor that the court order specifies is paid for by the state's expense. He is being evaluated to determine whether he's even stable or understands the proceedings. Vinton County is the smallest county in Ohio with the smallest budget of all 88, and removing those 16 children more than doubled the number of kids in its custody overnight. The state had to approve $1 million in emergency funding, and the prosecutor had to borrow lawyers from other counties just to carry the case. In Arkansas, Joseph Duggar's bond was $600,000. He posted it, hired private counsel. He was released and flown home with his father sitting in the courtroom. While he waited in a Washington County jail, his father wrote him a letter that the sheriff's office later released as a public record. In it, Jim Bob compares his son to King David. The delusion runs wild, doesn't it? Who, in his own words, royally messed up. Use the word royally. Oh, dude, he royally messed up. And then repented. Tells him to make lemonade out of lemons. Literally. And on the child endangerment charges against Kendra, on the four children the state pulled out of that home, the word Jim Bob Duggar puts in writing is ridiculous. He writes that it is ridiculous they charged and arrested her, that the family is praying to get her charges dropped. That word sits about as far from the Siders as a word can sit. A reporter asked a relative of the Ohio family for his reaction. Ronnie Fletcher, married to one of Gary Sr.'s daughters, gave one word: horrified. That's the only difference between these two families. Not the crime, not the children, the money. And everything the money buys. One family is the other family with a checkbook, a network, and a public relations department. One grandfather gets a competency evaluation and an ankle monitor the taxpayers pay for. The other gets to write the word ridiculous about a child endangerment charge. He put it in a letter to a jail on a system he knew was being read. With the confidence of a man who's never once been made to feel small by anything. The shine did not change what these families did. It changed what happened to them afterward. That's the thing that explains what everybody already thought they knew. Everybody knows the Siders. Everyone knows there's a church, there's a doctrine, a preacher, a belief system driving so much of this. So why does everyone know this? Why does everyone look at this and act surprised? Because we had seen the silhouette before. A high control religious household, too many children, no outside eyes, everything handled internally. America watched that exact shape for a decade and called it a family show. The Duggars are the reason the Siders look instantly familiar. The shine is what made the silhouette recognizable. And the shine is also what made it forgivable. When the shape had a laugh track and a network, it was wholesome. When the same shape turned up, broke in an Appalachian county, it was pure evil. And watch what the shine brought even after the mask came off. The attorney general called the Siders pure evil. TLC canceled the Duggars in July of 2015 when the police report surfaced, and then premiered a spinoff 5 months later. That spinoff ran more seasons, and across all of it, the network was paying the family a reported $25,000 to $40,000 an episode. Same silhouette, discovered in two different tax brackets. One called evil, one got a renewal and a paycheck. So who is worse? That's a question everyone is asking. And it's the wrong question because it is the same question asked twice. One of these families is the other one with money. The shine is the only difference. And the shine is not a virtue. It's camouflage. It's the exact thing that let one family do things out in the open, the applause, what the other one had to do in the dark. And the places where they actually differ are worth saying out loud too. Josh Duggar is convicted. The Siders are accused and everyone gets a trial. The room in Ohio sounds physically worse than anything ever documented inside the Duggar house. All of that is true. But the crimes are not the comparison. The architecture is. Concealment, control, no outside eyes, everything handled in the house. Found by accident, children taken, point for point. It's the same blueprint. Built once with money and once without. There's an 18-year-old girl in Ohio who spent her whole life in a house. She was almost never allowed to leave. She's legally an adult, and she cannot spell her own name. There are 15 more behind her, some of whom cannot speak. And there are four children in Arkansas, the oldest of them, seven, who, for a time, no longer slept in their own house. 20 kids. Two tax brackets, one blueprint. Nobody is ever going to sit them down and ask which family was worse because they did not understand the question. The shine never reached them anyway. To a child who was not allowed to leave, the locked room and the television set were exactly the same size. The shine was always for us. It was never for them. Your thoughts in the comments section. It is kind of stunning, isn't it? When you really, really break it down, you really examine it. And yes, there's obviously some stark differences here. But did you realize how much there was in common? Yeah. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'll continue it there. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.